Get to Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. For months and months, we've watched the acrimonious ads on television as Highmark and UPMC have accused each other of not doing what's in the best interest of patients. But now, these two health giants have declared a truce, at least for now, with the signing last Friday of a five-year consent decree that Governor Corbett says gives, quote, long-term access and clarity, end quote, to patients who want to keep their Highmark insurance and their UPMC doctors and specialists. But there are lingering questions for policyholders who will now find most of UPMC's centrally located hospitals are out of network. I'm joined now by phone from Harrisburg by State Insurance Commissioner Michael Considine as we attempt to clarify some of the provisions of this agreement that might be confusing to customers. Mr. Considine, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Good afternoon, Paul. Glad to be here.
I think many policyholders in southwestern Pennsylvania have been holding out hope that Highmark and UPMC would reach an agreement that would extend in-network rates into the future. But this is not such a plan, correct? This is more about setting up an amicable divorce, right?
Yeah, this really is more about, as you said, a separation agreement and a long-term transition plan that while it's not, you know, again, a long-term contract, nonetheless, still sets up some ongoing relationships between Highmark and UPMC that will extend during the period of this transition.
So let's explore what this is. Can it be described as a way to wean Highmark subscribers off of UPMC doctors and facilities?
Well, I mean, I think some of the central parts of this transition agreement really are focused in the opposite direction of really ensuring continuity of care and continued access, in particular where it's needed most. And I know during the press conference, both the governor and attorney general, you know, highlighted the provisions dealing with oncology and continuity of care. And the focus that we've always had and that we brought to the table during those negotiating sessions with both is, you know, really let's focus on this from the patient's perspective. So the folks who need that ongoing access will have it. There will be others, as you said, who, you know, as we go through this transition process and to the extent these two companies do formally continue to separate, will have to make choices, be they choices on what's the right insurance company for them or who, you know, what are the right doctors and hospitals for them. And that's a decision-making process, Paul, we're certainly sensitive to. And again, there are elements of this transition plan that will assist with that. And it's, you know, an experience that consumers throughout the Commonwealth have had to deal with as part of sort of healthcare choices over the last decade or so.
There was a lot going on behind the scenes as this deal was negotiated. The Attorney General, Kathleen Kane, was involved. Governor Corbett was involved. I'm curious as to whether folks like yourself, who has expertise in the area of insurance, if you were consulted at all, was your office contacted as these negotiations were taking place?
Oh, well, we were part of the negotiations. So the from the governor's side of the team, it was really negotiations led by the insurance department, myself, Secretary Wolf from the Department of Health, and then senior representatives from the Office of Attorney General, including General Kane herself at key points. And they were very, you know, pointed discussions. We had gotten to a point here in the calendar year where we knew we needed to move this process forward. So to the extent that there wasn't going to be a contract between the parties in place, that consumers who, you know, all of our offices have been hearing from for months and months now at this point, had the clarity going into the end of the year and the beginning of next as to what that healthcare landscape looked like and really had clarity around access and the questions that they're dealing with on their doctors and hospitals.
And as you were helping to broker this agreement and involved in these discussions, what were some of the things from the state's standpoint, what were some of the priorities here that, if nothing else, you felt had to be in any agreement that was made going forward?
Well, I think you see sort of all of those key elements reflected in the consent decrees that the parties reached. We came together with the Attorney General. We both identified, you know, what were the priorities for us, again, from a patient-consumer perspective, and they were essentially the same. And again, we laid those out in the consent decree, really set objectives that we wanted the parties to reach, and they either have reached them at this point or agreed to sort of an approach to reaching decisions. And again, those were on things like continuity of care, oncology, key facilities and hospitals where ongoing access was going to be needed, having some provisions dealing with a safety net for consumers and patients who needed more time to transition. So everything you see reflected in the consent decree and that were the highlights of the press conference last week were the issues that we brought to the table. And the parties, to their credit, agreed that those were the issues that had to be dealt with. And it's important for me to emphasize also, Paul, that, you know, this was a first step. There is, there's a lot more work to be done here. A lot of what the consent decree calls for is the parties to go back to the negotiating table and to reach agreements on hospital contracts, pricing, importantly, the consent decrees give them that opportunity, but also say, if you can't, then there is a consequence in terms of going to binding arbitration. So we're not in a situation where consumers and patients don't have answers come the end of this year.
We're talking with State Insurance Commissioner Michael Considine by phone from Harrisburg. And if you would like to ask a question, at this point, our phones here, we cannot accept phone calls from our listeners. So any questions or concerns that you wish to express must be done so via email or through Twitter. The email address is esspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at esspgh. Follow the hashtag at EP at Central Pittsburgh EP Live. And the transition plan, Commissioner, allows Highmark subscribers that fit into certain categories to continue to access UPMC facilities. But are you concerned about the number of UPMC's major centrally located hospitals that will be out of network? What access do people still have to these hospitals? For example, McGee Women's Hospital, right. Montefiore, et cetera, if any?
Yeah. No, there are a number of provisions that go to access for some of those facilities, and obviously that was something that we were focused on because, again, we know the patients and consumers out in Pittsburgh are focused on. So let me highlight a couple of the ones that come into play for what we call sort of the greater Pittsburgh hospitals. Again, continuity of care. If you are in a ongoing course of treatment, and that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be for something severe, it could be for a broken leg to something far more severe. But if you're in a course of treatment with a UPMC doctor and you're a Highmark policyholder, you get to carry through with that until that course of treatment is done. So that's kind of the continuity of care provisions. We also had oncology, not just for existing patients, but for potentially new people who are coming into the system with cancer-related issues. And again, that provision essentially says that if you and your doctor, if the patient and the doctor agree that they need to access a UPMC facility for treatment of this particular cancer, either because of the expertise or the types of services available at that hospital that are otherwise not available, then you get to go there on an in-network basis to that UPMC facility. Again, emergency service is a big one. If you're in downtown Pittsburgh, you get to go to the nearest ER that you want to go to if there's an emergency situation, so we're not putting patients in the position of making those choices in the midst of a medical crisis. Again, the safety net, which is another provision that was negotiated, which says, if there is going to be a transition, but you're having trouble with that transition, Highmark and UPMC will agree to work together to ease that transition and allow you to continue to see your doctor until you're able to successfully transition to a new facility or to a new doctor.
Are there any? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was about to say. So those are the big ones that impact all of the UPMC facilities, but I think in particular, the central hospitals that folks were most concerned about. And then there are some like Children's and Western Psych that are just carved out altogether and will continue to be accessible.
And when it comes to, you were talking about the emergency room visits, I know that there are still some details that need to be ironed out when it comes to the cost of an emergency room visit. What can you tell us, or can you elaborate in any way on those details?
Yeah, so right now the agreement is that all UPMC ERs will be accessible, so nobody will be turned away from an ER with a true medical emergency. What the parties have been tasked with going back to the negotiating table to do is to negotiate, you know, what the in-network pricing will be for patients who utilize those ER facilities. So there's still some more work to be done there. But again, from a patient perspective, you don't have to make the choice as to, you know, what ER may or may not be accessible. They are both accessible, both at West Penn facilities and UPMC facilities.
Now, I wanted to go back to chronic conditions, and particularly when it comes to cancer, and you basically clarified a lot of that scenario. But one question that comes to mind is, let's say a cancer patient has beaten the disease. So if a Highmark insurance carrier is seeing a doctor at UPMC, and it's because he or she has cancer, they've been seeing that doctor, this agreement provides that opportunity to continue seeing the same doctor. And so until hopefully a scenario in which the patient has beaten the disease, once that happens, let's say a year later the cancer right. comes back, then what happens?
Yeah, and you know, and there you get into some of the scenarios that we really are hoping that the parties can negotiate what are the appropriate parameters about, you know, the access going forward. I mean, from a high level, I can tell you, you know, what, in that particular case, if you've reached a situation where the continuity of care has been finished, but you have a recurrence, and again, you can revert back to the oncology provisions, separate oncology provisions of the agreement, and if the doctor and the patient decide, well, again, you know, because of the familiarity between the two and the prior treatment at the prior facility, that may be a situation where, again, the doctor and patient decide, you know what, you need to go back to that same doctor or that same hospital under the oncology provisions, and they would have the ability to do that.
Another situation that people might be wondering about is what this agreement means for those with Medicare and Medicaid.
Yes. Yeah, and that there is, and I'm glad you brought that up, Paul, because that was, again, a central provision to the consent decrees that we negotiated up front. And, you know, and the parties, again, to their credit, agreed very readily that when it came to our Medicare population, when it comes to our children and the CHIP program, for example, or those enrolled in Medicaid, those are programs that will be unaffected, period, end of story, by the result, by any separation, contractual separation between Highmark and UPMC. So whatever agreements currently are in place with respect to those vulnerable populations will continue going forward.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are talking by phone from Harrisburg with State Insurance Commissioner Michael Considine. And we can only take your questions today via email or Twitter. And again, our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm. And on Twitter at esspgh, follow the conversation at #EPLive. That's esspgh. #EPLive. And we do have a Twitter question that we wanted to get to. And it comes from Aaron, who says, will Highmark Community Blue subscribers in rural areas have in-network access to UPMC?
Well, there, Aaron raises a really good question. So Community Blue is a product that is designed by Highmark, and it's what we now call sort of a narrow network product. So it by the product's very design and definition, you will only have consumers who purchase that product will have in-network access to, you know, a specific set of hospitals. Generally, as I understand it, and it's probably a better question for Highmark, UPMC facilities are not part of the narrow network that is in the Community Blue product design as being part of their in-network design. However, again, you know, what the agreement is going forward is in most cases, and again, something that really depends on what your, how your health insurance product is written, you will have the ability to go out of network, and the product, and you know, and what we've guaranteed is continued access on an out of network basis to UPMC facilities where consumers make that choice. And again, there may be other provisions, for example, the oncology provisions that also come into play. But as a general matter, if you purchase a product, you know, that has a defined network of in-network hospitals, and UPMC is not one of those, then the terms of the contract will control.
And the issues, particularly the ones we were talking about earlier, relating to things like emergency room visits, and you mentioned earlier, Mr. Considine, about the binding arbitration issues. As far as the timing of all this, how do we know that these issues that are yet unresolved will be worked out in a timely manner?
Well, again, I think you heard a lot of that at the press conference with the governor and attorney general. And this was a very significant first step, Paul, in terms of having these consent decrees entered into. So now we have the parties for the first time, you know, being bound by legal documents, you know, that they will address these issues in a prescribed way, in a set time. And if they don't, the decisions will be made for them. We didn't have that sort of structure before. So it's a big first step. But as you point out, there's a lot more work to do. But what you heard was a very strong commitment from the governor and a very strong commitment from the attorney general that, you know, their respective offices were going to remain engaged in this process. And we're not going to let it get off track. And, you know, we're going to make sure that the interests of patients, consumers continue to be represented and that come the end of the year, that they will have the clarity that they need. It's, you know, it's been a bumpy time for consumers across the Commonwealth with health insurance general, healthcare reform and health insurance generally. We know it's been, you know, exacerbated out in Western Pittsburgh. So part of what we hope to do is also during this period of transition is to make sure our respective offices are also out there and engaged with the community to help with that transition. So, you know, you should expect to hear and see a lot from the insurance department, from the attorney general's office and Department of Health. We're good resources for consumers who are struggling with these issues, and it's really why we're here.
Again, you can tweet your questions and comments to us, ESSPGH, hashtag EPLive. Tracy on Twitter asks, what about UPMC patients with Highmark doctors? Will diabetes fall under continuity of care? That's from Tracy.
Yeah, another good question. And as we've said before, you know, with 3 million people out in Western Pennsylvania, there are, you know, 3 million hypotheticals that we could get with different conditions. You know, we purposely wrote for purposes of this first step, the consent decree to be very broad, especially on continuity of care provisions. So to me, as a non-doctor, so let me emphasize that, you know, a condition like diabetes would probably fall into a continuity of care provision. But that's something, again, that we're expecting the parties to come back to us with. But we highlighted time and time again in the consent decrees and with the parties, you know, this is really about what's best for the patient. And I think what we have reflected, you know, throughout this agreement is concurrence with that concept, is both Highmark and UPMC are going to put their swords down and really are going to make decisions that are in the best interest of their patients and policyholders. And we're going to hold that to them. And hopefully, you know, as the Highmark CEO said, you know, this is a new day for Western Pittsburgh and Western Pennsylvania. And we hope that's certainly the case.
Once again, we are talking with State Insurance Commissioner Michael Considine by phone from Harrisburg. And I realize, Mr. Considine, that we're getting into some pretty high policy weeds here and that there are some things that are still very fluid in this working agreement that is still evolving. But when Tracy is asking about something like diabetes, which is a chronic condition, and we were talking earlier about cancer, clearly, cancer is something that if someone has it and they have Highmark insurance, they can continue to see their UPMC doctor if that's the person who's been treating their cancer. So if there's a situation with some serious issues, which diabetes can create, why would that be different from a situation with someone who has cancer?
Well, it may not be, and that's really my point is, you know, these are provisions, in particular the continuity of care, that the parties will need to work through. And in many cases, you know, they will be very likely able to remain with their current the doctors. But I don't want to minimize the fact that, you know, there will be some folks who will need to make changes when it comes to their doctors or hospitals or insurance companies. That's something, you know, Western Pennsylvania has been a little bit different just because, you know, of the situation with Highmark being so dominant and UPMC so dominant, and the rest of the state where you have, you know, different health insurers and different hospital systems. It's pretty common for people to have to make those types of decisions every couple of years when their employers change plans. We know it's a nuisance, and certainly we've been experienced in helping folks deal with that that type of transition. And that, again, that will likely happen in Western Pennsylvania now with this decision. But we've set up a process here, and we set up some mechanisms that would hopefully reduce some of that disruption. And again, that's really where our focus will be as an agency going forward, is really assisting consumers with any questions that they might have.
What oversight is needed here to make sure that these consumer protections unfold as promised?
Well, again, you have a consent decree that is that are agreements,
right? You have the
Highmark and UPMC have entered into, but there are also agreements that the Insurance Department, Attorney General's Office, and Health are also engaged in, and we have been given, you know, the ability, in some cases, to mediate disputes. We've been given the ability to direct them to arbitrate some of these disputes. And our offices will continue to be directly involved if we see violations of either the agreements or other existing laws that deal with healthcare.
So state agencies like yours and people like you, the state insurance commissioner, you are the people who are overseeing, who are enforcing this agreement and making sure that both parties live up to it.
Absolutely. And the parties understand that we are going to be very vigilant about that.
State Representative Dan Frankel from our area, a Democrat from Squirrel Hill, who has introduced legislation that would require UPMC and other providers to provide any willing insurer in-network access. As far as you're concerned, is this a good idea?
Well, we certainly appreciate Representative Frankel's engagement on this issue, and I think that was acknowledged as part of the consent decrees that the General Assembly's engagement in looking at legislation around this was a big part of helping to move this process forward. You know, clearly we need to have a discussion, an ongoing discussion about how we regulate and manage healthcare in the Commonwealth and across the country. The Affordable Care Act has changed a lot of things, and we are seeing the ripple effects of that every day as hospitals merge, as insurance companies merge. So I think Representative Frankel's measure, which was supported by a number of other legislators, looked at one important aspect of that discussion in terms of access. But there are a whole bunch of other things that I think we need to look at together, because if you change one thing in terms of access, it could have a consequence when it comes to cost or something like that. So we need to be very careful about how we approach it. But I think we all recognize that it's a very different situation now than it was 5 years ago. And it's part of an ongoing discussion that we welcome having with the General Assembly about what's the best way to regulate this new marketplace, you know, with the interests of patients and consumers first.
We have just a couple of minutes left. I'll try to get through as many emails as we can and tweets. This email from Ruth: I have a Medicare Advantage plan through Highmark. I know that I will still be able to use UPMC as in-network. I wonder why this is. Does the federal government, through Medicare, require access to all local hospitals and doctors?
Well, she is absolutely correct that, again, Medicare was one of those vulnerable populations that we said, you know, nothing about this separation can impact that group. And that's in part because, yes, it is. It's a unique program. It's both federal and state and is subject to contracts of their own. But the bottom line that we really wanted to emphasize, you know, with our senior population is that this is something that you don't need to worry about. You know, and again, this is they are carved out from the impact of any separation at this point.
And with less than a minute to go, another tweet from Aaron. What are rural families to do when UPMC takes over their community hospital? Individual market plans with UPMC access cost 2 to 3 times more.
Yeah, great question. And again, we focused on ensuring that especially UPMC community hospitals outside of the greater Pittsburgh five-county region continue to be accessible to rural families on an in-network basis. And we also included provisions that said to the extent those acquisitions continue and other community hospitals may be acquired by either party, that provisions of these consent decrees would extend to those as well. So we recognize, that, again, that it's a very fluid environment and that this consent decree and process has to be adaptable to that.
Okay, and very, very quickly, a follow-up from Tracy, who had the tweet on diabetes. When will we know if we can get this exemption? How will we get it? We have about 10 seconds.
Yeah, so we're working very closely with both parties. The next step is to have a transition plan filed with the insurance department by the end of July, and that should have a lot more in the way of detail.
State Insurance Commissioner Michael Considine by phone from Harrisburg talking about the agreement between Highmark and UPMC. Thank you very much, Commissioner.
Thank you, Paul. My pleasure.
Coming up, a preview of World Cup soccer players of the future on 90.5 WESA.